Yeah, exactly. There are some people who would sit like, I try to find my ties to the narrow. There are some people who would say, well, you're doing it wrong, because, I mean, you would want to try to have a comfortable banking or keying. This is BDSM, it's supposed to hurt. So there are some people who tie so that they will kind of dig into the bottom, and the bottom of that, and will hate the way I tie because it's not challenging enough. Mm. So it's very much a specific thing. But having said that, I have a metaphor appropriately needed called cape versus the teeth.
Yeah.
You're on cape, all of your weight is focused on two very narrow blades, which means there's a tremendous amount of pressure on those thin little strips of metal. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're standing on your teeth or snowshoes, say pencil, your same amount of body weight is distributed over a much bigger area.
Yeah.
So the pressure per square inch is much lower. Same thing with ropes. There used to be a lot of, perhaps still is a lot of like actual Japanese porn book where they'll tie up the female submissive and just use like a single pattern, in original shibari, it would start with the middle of the rope. Mm-hmm. So there would just be a single pass of two ropes around her leg, and then they'll lift her up with that, and her entire weight is digging down on the two ropes,
wow.
Which would be a lot of pressure. I mean, the Japanese women tend to be very petite, but it's still only two ropes, so. Quite a lot of pressure on that point, but that's the idea. It's not supposed to be comfortable, it's supposed to kind of hurt. Mm.
So, does that mean that the ropes are generally speaking always the same diameter? Is there a standard universal for several standards?
There are a couple of different standards, yeah. The rope I tie with is about 7 millimeters, maybe 8. Which is a little bit big. Most people tie with about 6 millimeter tooth. It started at 6 millimeter, but I washed it and it's left up a little bit on me.
Do you find that the size changes with you? Does it get more compact? Or?
Not, well, and not where I suppose theoretically, but not appreciably. No. The size changes basically with washing. The fibers fluff up a little bit.
Does it hold water?
Sorry?
It doesn't hold water. I mean, you don't want it to hold water?
No, you don't want it to hold water. Like, I should tell you, I washed them once when I'm prepping my ropes, and then after that, I just moved the damn cloth. But when I first got this as raw rope, it was more tightly wound. It's a little bit looser now that I sort of washed it well and made it ready to use. All right.
Now that you've got the space to do with you when you unravel the rope,
that's true.
Well,
they've got to
make some showmanship, too.
Oh, yeah,
definitely. This isn't just for air.
Not hard. Where does that kind of get that deep cockatoo kind of vibe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Up your sleeve. And
yeah, you got one suspension coming from the chest.
So, obviously the rope is really strong, but does it matter how many passes are between the suspension point and the knee?
I'm told, I've never tested this myself, but the shoot of this diameter has a brake strength of roughly 400 pounds.
Right.
For a single strand.
Yeah.
I always use double strands for a bank, that's how shibari works.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, I tend to use multiple strands. So beyond a certain point, it doesn't really matter. If I was hanging up with one or two strands, that wouldn't be as much a safety margin as I'd really like.
But it doesn't seem to me that would really be a part of the activity, whether or not it's like
because of the way I do it, it was like vastly more than enough, so it doesn't matter.
So when you learn a particular form, you know, how much leeway or freedom of expression would you say there exists versus like rigid adherence to a technical form?
A fair amount. Like right now I'm basically riffing. The best way I can answer that question is a bunch of different building blocks that you learn, and the building blocks are relatively standard, but then you can combine them in different ways to...
Like Lego.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like Lego.
What's the tension of using most tension points? So right now you're using possibly a 2.
Usually I use 1, although the club that I regularly tie in instead of a ring has a bar. So that's why I put the second one up here, because I actually, if I had a solid bar, I could move ropes in different places over it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of simulating the same effect. The Japanese name for this pie is Fujimono, which literally means fat deck.
Isn't that also mean fat peach?
Yeah.
Fat peach? Fujimono.
Oh, you speak Japanese?
Yeah.
Was it Momo or Momo?
Which one is that?
That's what we're trying to think. I don't know what.
Gentleman is leg, it's that.
Yeah. I don't remember.
The rule is the first
one? The rule?
Puto. Puto. Like the first part of Puton, but with heavy N. So yeah, you should not walk up to a Japanese person and go, Puto! What's this like?
Unless you're smart, you can make a tie up.
Specifically finding the ankle to the thigh for the same length, or?
I should have used a longer rope, but the first one came to hand. A suitable tradition is the number of turns around the leg at different levels, so I'm going to kind of rough in three here.
Right.
Usually done to turn slower. This is actually the first one that side one. Well, my bottom is standing, but it's too wet, and that's not. The reason I did this too, when you are doing bondage, you don't always, suspension is probably my favorite thing to do because it's kind of a fun, showy thing, but obviously it increases the risk of things like wrong. You're getting into shikara, you can also do what they call partial suspensions, which is what this is. Because as you'll notice, a lot of her weight is on her, I guess mostly chest at this point, and a little bit on her hips. But she still got one foot on the floor, so there's a lot of chance of going wrong.